Thank you for listening to this week's sermon podcast by Dr. John Hanna. It is our hope and prayer that you will be encouraged in your faith and in your walk with Jesus. For more information, please go to springfieldchurch.org. Here now is the most recent message.
Take your New Testaments and turn with me to the book of Colossians. We are in this series that we're calling A Question a Day Helps Keep Us on the Way. We're looking at 30 questions that we can ask ourselves every day that will help us walk the path that we need to be walking. As you're turning to Colossians, we'll start in Colossians chapter 1 and then look at a couple of verses in chapter 2. The weather here in Western Oregon in January is kind of interesting, isn't it? If you were here 2 years ago, you were dealing with that infamous ice storm. You remember the ice storm? Of course you remember that. They say it was, you know, like a one in a century storm that hit this area. I missed that because we were in the middle of Kansas for the birth of our grandson, Jackson. And so someday, when he's old enough, I'm going to say, Jackson, you know, you got me out of this horrible ice storm so that I could be with you for your birth. And then when we got back into town, we just saw the aftermath, branches everywhere, and it was pretty bad. And for months, even at our place, we were still cleaning up branches. Our neighbors across the street from us, directly across the street, still have their broken branches. They just haven't gotten around to fixing those. So that was the infamous ice storm 2 years ago. Last year, around this time, we were dealing with really frigid cold. I just remember thinking, it's really cold. And I just remember bundling up, you know, in layers and hats and gloves, and it was cold. I mean, it's always cold, but last year seemed to be a little colder than usual. This year, we seem to be dealing with this heavy fog. Have you noticed? I mean, we always get fog, but this year seems to be a little heavier, well, actually a lot heavier than usual. And even this morning, I come early in the morning to check on the church, and it was heavy fog on Main Street. It was pretty thick. Friday morning, I left the house and I drove into Springfield, and on 126, the fog was exceptionally thick. I mean, it was really, really, really heavy, and fortunately, all the drivers on the road were very cautious, and you know, we had to go slow because you can't see where you're going. I was going slow, even in the fog, and you just have to be extra careful. It's just, you know, the conditions are pretty bad. But as I was driving through that fog Friday morning, this thought occurred to me. It's kind of like life, you know. 2026 has started. As the first of the year rolls around, we kind of have hopes and dreams for the new year, maybe some plans and a vision for where we want to go in the new year and things we want to accomplish. And I think we should do that. But then somewhere along the line, maybe 18 days into the new year, things start to get foggy in our lives and things start to get cloudy. And maybe we lose a little bit of that vision of where we want to go. And already, you know, 18 days into this new year, I sense in my own life some of that stuff happening. There's fog creeping in. Whereas I once thought getting from point A to point B would be a lot smoother, there's stuff that's starting to creep in, you know, and maybe a little bit of discouragement can set in, and maybe we just get a little frustrated. That's life. Life will cloud our vision with fog and heaviness, and sometimes we can lose sight of where we want to go. 2025 was a rough year, and I know we've said goodbye to 2025, but we can still learn from the lessons of last year and not allow the stuff of last year to, you know, hopefully creep into 2026. My next door neighbor, who's a great guy, who lost his wife in 2025 at the young age of 54, was telling me that 2025 owes us an apology. And I think in many ways he's right. But now that we're, you know, almost 3 weeks into 2026, We have to be aware of the fact that the fog is starting to creep in. Things may not be as clear as we would like it to be. I was watching the news a couple days ago, and they were talking about the heavy storms and the heavy fogs back east. And they showed a picture of one of the airports in New York, and it was really, really bad. But then they showed an airplane taking off, even with heavy clouds and the storms that were happening. And I'm not a pilot, I'm not an aviation expert, but you know, I've been in a plane where it's taken off like that. And when you can't rely visually, you know, as a pilot, if you can't rely visually, they have all these instruments and navigation from the tower that can help a plane through the fogginess and the storms. And a plane can successfully take off and fly and land. And these questions that we're going to look at are going to serve as kind of instruments for us for when life gets cloudy and the vision becomes less clear and maybe we're not quite certain of how to get from point A to point B. And so that's what these questions are going to help us do. They help us stay on the path that God has for us. And so think of these questions as vital tools and instruments for us to keep us on the way, even when the clouds and the fog of life begin to creep in. I hope that makes sense. Because as I've been working through these questions every day, that's how they function for me. If I start to veer a little bit here or veer a little bit there or get a little discouraged, I look at the question for today and it helps keep me grounded and it helps keep me focused on the path that I need to be walking with the Lord. The title for the message today is Growing in Christ, Not Slowing in Chaos. You know, the fog that creeps in can be a source of chaos and confusion for us. And the scriptures repeatedly point us back to Christ and how he is our guide and how we are to grow in him. So let's look at Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10, about our goal on staying focused on the Lord, even if fog begins to creep in. Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. What a prayer that we can pray for ourselves and for each other, that we continue to be filled with God's Spirit, who will guide us into all truth. Now, turn one chapter over into Colossians chapter 2, and let's look at verses 6 and 7. So then, just as you received Jesus Christ as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. What a powerful word for us this morning. Lord, these verses are such a source of encouragement for me, and I believe for us, in that even as the fog and the clouds of life sometimes creep in and we can maybe tend to lose focus a little bit, your word continues to point us towards that which we should always be striving for. And the good news is we're not left alone in this journey. Your Spirit is with us, your presence is with us, and we have each other to help us navigate through the fog of life. And maybe there's someone here today and almost 2 weeks into the new year, they're already starting to feel a little discouraged and a little down. Lord, I pray that your word and the encouragement of this church and the guidance of these questions will help all of us to stay focused on that which matters most. And all God's people said, amen, amen. If you don't have one, you can get one of these notebooks that we've passed out several weeks ago. that will contain all the questions, a question a day. And so I've got one here for you if you want one. And then today we're going to start looking at question number 18. Today's the 18th of the month. I will walk you through the questions for this week as we journey through a question a day. Question number 18, and again, these questions are meant to really get us to think about our lives and how we're living and what we're doing with our lives. And so they are meant to really guide us. But here's number 18. Am I honest in all my acts and words, or do I exaggerate, distort, and, quote, spin the truth? This is an important question, because we are living in a day and age where not telling the truth and gaslighting and fake news has never been more in vogue. I mean, it is standard. It's happening all around us. It's almost in fashion to distort the truth. You know how the saying goes, if you say the same lie over and over and over again, you tend to believe it. And we see this happening in culture. And so this question is a vital question for us to stay the path, to walk the path of Christ. Christ said of himself, he is the way, the truth, and the life. God's people are to be people of honesty and integrity and truth. And if there's one group of people, if there's one institution in today's culture that should be leading the way in this, it ought to be the church. It ought to be the church. And so for us to live lives of integrity and honesty and truthfulness, are we being honest in every act and word, or do we exaggerate, distort, and spin the truth? Let's look at the Proverbs 11:3 verse. Proverbs 11:3. And it shouldn't surprise us what God's word says, but let's read it anyway. Proverbs 11:3. The integrity of the upright guides us, but the unfaithful are destroyed by their duplicity. And so this is a word from the Lord for us. In everything that we are to be about in our lives, will we be people of truthfulness and integrity and honesty? That's question number 18. Let's look at question number 19 for the 19th day of the month, which happens to be tomorrow. Happy Martin Luther King Jr. Day, by the way. I hope you will enjoy your extended weekend. But here's number 19. Am I enjoying prayer as real communion with God, or merely, quote, getting through a religious duty if I even pray at all? This question is almost verbatim the way John Wesley originally worded it. We changed it just a little bit. But I like what he says here. Am I enjoying prayer as real communion with God? You've had conversations with people that you've just thoroughly enjoyed just talking with, maybe over a cup of coffee or lunch, and then you look at your clock and you go, wow, I can't believe 2 hours have passed by, because you enjoyed being in each other's company. Well, we can have that similar type of encounter with God as we spend time in his presence, talking to him, listening to him, just resting in his presence and really enjoying our relationship with the Lord. Here's one of the things about John Wesley that does not get talked about very much. He was a devout man of prayer. And not only that, but he made it a spiritual practice of his to write out his prayers, not just once a day, but twice a day. And so if you were to read through his writings, you would see Monday morning prayer, and he would write out paragraphs of his prayer to God. And then that evening, he would write out more of his prayers. And he was very prolific in his prayer life and actually journaling and writing out his prayers. And so perhaps this is a spiritual discipline you can try in your own life. Try writing out your prayers to God. That may be a source of enjoyment for you, if that is for you. I want to share with you just a portion of one of John Wesley's prayers. This is just one paragraph of five of one of his morning prayers, just so you get a sense of how much he enjoyed his communion with God, and how maybe he even worked out some of his own theology and his own issues as he wrote out his prayers. And so this is just one paragraph of five in one of his morning prayers. O Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, you keepest mercy for thousands. You pardonest iniquity and transgression and sin. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God! The children of men shall put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. And therefore do we still look up to that bountiful hand from whence we have received all our good things. O Lord our God, be favorable unto us, as you usest to be unto those that love thy name. O look not upon the sin of our nature, nor upon the sins of our hearts and lives, which are more than we can remember and greater than we can express. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because thy compassions fail not. But you lookest upon the face of thine anointed, who was manifest to take away our sins, and by whom it is that we have access unto the majesty on high. Of course, the language is 300 years old, but you get the gist of how much he enjoyed just writing out his prayers and thinking through his thoughts as he intentionally sought to reflect upon the goodness and the mercy and the salvation of God. So, let us pray. Let us pray the Lord's Prayer. And as we read this together, let us find just that enjoyment, that communion that we can have with God. Let's read this together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Next question, question number 20 for this week. Do I gossip, complain, criticize, or tear down others, either in person or behind their back, or online, or am I blessing and praying for them? That's a big one right there. Because we've all been there, we've all done that, and it's not the way that Christ would have us to live. Last couple years or so, God has really spoken to my heart, and I have found myself praying for my enemies. It's what Jesus tells us to do. Now, I hope I don't have too many enemies, but if, you know, someone comes to mind who I think, well, I don't think they like me very much, or whatever. I have intentionally tried to make it a spiritual practice of mine to pray for those who maybe rub me the wrong way, or I rub them the wrong way, or you get the idea. But we all tend to gossip, complain, criticize, tear others down. But we are called to encourage and bless and pray for each other. And I think if we can put ourselves in this frame of mind and really intentionally try to build each other up, the fog will begin to dissipate, and we'll be able to see God's plan and God's will more clearly. Let's go back to Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 16, verse 28. Let's see what God's word says. It probably won't surprise any of us, but it's a good reminder. A perverse person stirs up conflict, and a gossip separates close friends. And so let's meditate on this question and seek to do what God's word has us do rather than what the world is very good at doing. Question number 21 for this week. Am I attentive to the poor, the lonely, the marginalized, and the oppressed in my community, or do I live functionally insulated from their needs? That's a big question. We all know that there are those in our community who are poor, lonely, marginalized, oppressed. And do we live in our own gated communities where we seek to distance ourselves from those who are unlike us or those for whom we don't want to get our hands dirty and maybe try to meet their needs? Or are we actively trying to seek ways to minister to those on the margins? It's a big question for us to ponder, because we tend to gravitate towards people who are like us. And yet, Jesus said, the poor you will always have with you. And by that, I think he meant that there will always be opportunities to reach out to someone and to be able to lift them up. Let's look at the Isaiah 1:17 verse. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 17. Learn to do right. Seek justice. Defend the oppressed. Take up the cause of the fatherless and plead the case of the widow. In other words, get involved. Don't isolate yourself. Get involved for those who cannot speak for themselves. Question number 22 for this week on day 22 is this. Am I self-pitying or self-justifying when confronted, or do I receive correction with humility and attentiveness? We all get defensive when someone points something out to us. I mean, who doesn't enjoy, you know, correction or discipline? And so our natural instinct is, we tense up. And then maybe we can even sulk into self-pitying and self-justifying. But it is a good thing when we can speak into each other's lives and receive instruction and encouragement and correction with joy and say, thank you. I know that you're pointing this out in my life because you love me. You want to see me grow. You want to see me on the way, on the path. And so let's develop a continuous sense of I'm open to what God would have revealed to me so that I can grow as a person and as a Christian and as a follower of Christ. Let's go back to Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22, verse 4. And as you're turning there, I'm reminded, some of you know my youngest son, Micah, who played football in high school. And he was a pretty good football player, not just because he had some great natural athletic ability, but I remember talking to one of his coaches once, and he said to me, one of the reasons why Micah is such a good football player is because he's coachable. He's teachable. You can have a great athlete on the field, but if they are not coachable or teachable, that doesn't necessarily translate into, you know, great athletics. But one of the reasons why his coaches enjoyed coaching Micah is because he would receive their instruction and put it into practice on the field. And I think that's the same principle here. Will we receive correction and teaching with humility and attentiveness? Proverbs 22, verse 4. Humility is the fear of the Lord. Its wages are riches and honor and life. What a great verse. I love that. Question number 23 for this week is this. Do I carry hidden grudges, secret envy, or quiet contempt for certain people or groups? Are there any biases that we have towards anyone who's not like us, or we don't understand, or we don't comprehend, or we don't know? I think if we're going to be honest with ourselves, we all have some type of bias. And this is an area where God is continually working on all of us. What do we do with these feelings of contempt or envy or whatever? And can we learn to love all people, regardless of who they are? Let's go to the Matthew 7, 1 verse. Matthew chapter 7, verse 1. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. So Lord, help us to not judge anyone or any group. And finally, the last question for this week, number 24. In the choices I made this week, would a discerning observer conclude that Jesus, not comfort, not success, not approval, but Jesus is my Lord in every choice that I made this week? Let's look at Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, beginning at verse 8. This is that great passage declaring Jesus as Lord. Philippians 2, beginning at verse 8. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him, Jesus, to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Is Jesus Lord about everything in my life? Every decision, every aspect of who I am, is Jesus revealed as the Lord of my life?
Hi, I'm John Hanna, pastor of All Things Good, a church that believes in the goodness of God because God is the source of all things good. We are located on the corner of 18th and East Street in Springfield, and our Sunday morning service is 11 o'clock a.m. For more information about our church, you can visit our website at springfieldchurch.org. We look forward to meeting you, and I hope you have a great day.